Welcome to Perlin on ELT with Matt Perlin. You can contact Matt at info@perlintraining.com and visit the website at perlintraining.com, where you'll find all kinds of free resources for teachers and learners of English. You can follow Matt on Twitter at Perlin Training. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review for Matt on iTunes. What's on the podcast this time, Matt?
Well, it's episode 29 of Perlin on ELT. And I'm Perlin, and I'm on ELT as usual. And this week I'm asking the question, is British English better than American English? And I sort of asked this question and ducked down behind a barricade and just hope nobody attacks me behind my metaphorical barricade. But it is a question to ask. This week I'm working at a different school to usual. I'm on a sort of working holiday, and I'm not working with Polish students at the moment. I've got a mixed group of students from sort of Turkey, Colombia, Saudi Arabia, all different countries around the world. And we did an exercise, speaking exercise, in one of the classes, and I was making notes as students did their thing, made their presentations. And I was noting down errors, and some of the errors concerned the use of American English. And I said, you know, this word really stood out as being American English rather than British English. Well, is that a problem? Well, it depends on, you know, on I suppose where you are. But this is we're in a language school in the UK. I'm a British teacher. The books we're using are Cambridge, for Cambridge exams, which is a British exam as far as I know. So what you said really stood out. I think, for example, one of the words was smart, like clever. Ah, somebody's really smart. And I said, you know, I would never say that. I would never use this word to mean clever. Smart appearance, but not smart, clever. So it raised a discussion, and I said, you know, we need to check the school whether it's generally teaching British English or American English. It's no problem, but that to me stood out as an error because it wasn't consistent with the rest of the speaking exercise. And it didn't go down very well. So then I spoke to the director of studies about it. She said, yeah, this school is based on British English, and the books are, it's Cambridge CAE. So yeah, you're right to say that. But then later on, I think after the lesson, or maybe the next day after the lesson, I was walking along through the playground, and I heard one of the students was saying, in a really sort of angry way, face screwed up, doing an impression of me. And she was saying, and British English is the best. British English is the only way we can do. And I looked at her, you know, what are you doing here? What are you doing? And it made me think about this. What advice can we give to students? Is it the same? Is American English just British English with a few extra words, a few different words? Some teachers say, oh, there's no difference, or there's not much difference. I said to my students that there is a big difference. And that's what got me thinking about this topic. And my first point is, make no mistake, they are two different languages. If you're dealing with British English, you're dealing with one language. If you're dealing with American English, it's a separate language. George Bernard Shaw said, England and America are two countries separated by a common language. And in my opinion, from my experience, from my research as well, not just my opinion, the differences are deep-rooted. I don't feel comfortable, or I wouldn't feel comfortable teaching a class in using American English. First of all, I don't have the accent. Then do I need to put on an accent? I'm not comfortable teaching an American English class. My style of English is standard British English. My pronunciation aims to be standard British English. I would need a lot of help and a lot of preparation and some training, a lot of training to be able to teach an American English class. And I guess I would feel like a non-native speaker, like, so for example, like a Polish person who is a teacher of English. I would be teaching something that isn't my native language. That's the first point, really. I'm going to put these notes on the website at perlintraining.com, so you can have a look, download them. Of course, there is standard American English, just like there is standard British English. Standard British English is sort of the language that we hear in the media most of the time, on BBC, on the news. And this is the same in the USA. They have their version, standard American English, sometimes called general American. And this sort of sets the standard for everybody else. Of course, there are different accents in Britain, different accents in America, in the USA. Another point is that English native speakers learn American English almost from birth, because there's so much American media in our faces, really, you know, in our ears and eyes. So we watch cartoons before we can walk. We learn American words from cartoons. I used to watch cartoons like Top Cat. And of course, you pick up the slang, pick up the vocabulary. I think British people or English native speakers really have almost a dual language core. We understand American English and we understand British English. But this podcast is really about what is best to teach and to learn. US culture dominates, of course, in many countries around the world. If I go to the cinema in the UK, most of the films, if not all of them, maybe 10 films, will be from the USA. We don't make many films in our native language, in British English language, because there's no market, there's no point, because everybody understands US films in American English. I mean, that's sad. In Poland, there are a lot of Polish films, Polish film stars, and they use just their native language. I mean, that's good. That's thriving. A thriving industry. I think we're going to see in this podcast that we can't say one language is better than the other. One language is best. It's certainly tempting as a native speaker of any language to think that your language is superior to other people's. Now, I could say, oh, British English is the original. English developed here. Other countries use variations of English. But that's not really helpful for the student. You know, if you want to learn English, which version should you learn? You have to think and make a clear decision. I looked into the numbers, and American English has more native speakers. There are 231 million English speakers in the USA, but 60 million native speakers in the UK. However, it's estimated that British English is spoken around the world in countries like Australia, New Zealand, and Indian English is based on British English with 125 million speakers. So that's a lot. But it's best not to think about it as a contest, which is better, which is best, but try to think, okay, then if they are so different, if they are so different that you, Matt Perland on ELT, that you could not teach an American English course without really studying hard, without training, and even then you would feel uncomfortable. If that's the case, then what are the differences? What is so different? Let's start with vocabulary. Of course, you can learn a long list of words. I've made worksheets about this. You know, British people say pavement. Americans say sidewalk. British say lift. Americans say elevator. Elevator. Well, we'll come to pronunciation. English people put out the rubbish. American people put out the garbage or trash. I enjoy a sandwich with peanut butter and jam. An American enjoys the sandwich with peanut butter and jelly. And I always used to wonder about this, because jelly in English, in British English, is a kind of dessert. It's like a soft, squidgy dessert. And I always used to wonder, why have they got this jelly in a sandwich? That's disgusting. But really, they just mean jam. So there's a long list of words that students could use. You know, so in a British English class like we had last week, using the word sidewalk, elevator, it's like a trigger for me to write it down as an error. To me, that's an error in the class, in that context, in that class. And it stands out. But it didn't go down very well with my students when I told them. Some of them were angry. What was it? When I found out was that some words that are from English, from a few hundred years ago, which we no longer use, are still used in the USA, in American English, like fall. Apparently we used to say fall in Britain. And then we changed to autumn from the French. Another word, faucet, diaper, candy. So these are words we think of as American English, but they were originally British English, and we stopped using them. So that's an interesting area to look at, you know, as an abstract area. Why did we stop using them? Then it gets more serious. You know, American English has different idioms, different ways of talking, a whole different vocabulary. This is what I'm saying about the course being different. If you study in American English, your course book will be different. You know, you can buy Headway for British English or for American English. There's a huge market for American English, as we've seen by the numbers. So they don't want to learn British English, they want to learn their version, or their language, not a version, I shouldn't really say that, but their language. You know, if I say these phrases, do you understand them? What the heck? What the heck? No, I understand it because I've watched too many hours of American sitcoms and programs like The Simpsons, back in the day, things like Cheers, Friends, Frasier, all these shows, Happy Days, you know, when I was a young kid, Mork and Mindy, we just lapped it up. We had these shows just because we shared the same, ostensibly the same language, English. But this is where we learn these phrases, but we don't use them in our day-to-day life. Sit tight, I'll be right back. Sit tight, I'll be right back. Sit tight, we don't have this idiom in British English. Wait here, I'll be back in a minute. In a minute. So, do you want to learn British English or American English? You have to know before you sign up for the course. Is your teacher, for example, a travelling American guy or lady, but the school supposedly teaches British English, but you've got an American teacher, is that going to be a problem for you? What do you want to learn? Let me fix you a drink. Let me fix you a sandwich. Fix. We don't fix sandwiches. They're not broken. What does this phrase mean? We cool. We cool. Is there any problem between us? Is everything fine? Is everything all right? Two different languages. Two countries separated by the same language that was GBS, George Bernard Shaw, by a common language. I disagree. You know, we are two countries separated by two different languages. We cool. Pardon me. In British English, pardon me is what I say when I've made a sound with my body. I won't say what. And it's rather disgusting. And they say, oh, pardon me. So it made me laugh when I heard this in sitcoms and American films. Pardon me? That means sorry. What did you want? What did you say? Lots more idioms. I'll put some links here. Different slang words. I'm not going to use these words because they are technically bad language. And I don't want this podcast to be explicit. Explicit, but I'm sure you can think of the ones I'm thinking of. British swear words are very different from American English. Some words in American English are quite neutral, but in British English they would be swear words or bad words or bad slang words. If there is such a thing as a bad word, but clearly there are, because if I use them now, then this would have to be explicit, this podcast. And I don't want that. I don't want that. American English there. Urban Dictionary is full of American English terms that we wouldn't use in British English, just wouldn't use. Think of a word like dude. Hey, dude. I never use this. I would never ever say that word. Hey dude, how's it going? Dude, it sounds really odd to a British native speaker. And you could use it as in a joking way, a jokey way, in a fun way. Fine. Tendency to use nouns as verbs. So American English often uses nouns as verbs, like I vacationed somewhere, to vacation. Even the word vacation is American English for holiday. We might say that American English vocabulary is more influential because of the worldwide dominance, I suppose, of TV, cinema, music, especially through the internet as well. So people learn these, maybe you're learning British English in your school, but you're watching films and you're learning American English. Learn both. I know both. I don't spend hours reading Urban Dictionary, but I know generally Americanisms, slang, vocabulary, because I've been exposed to it since I was born. Our TV company just bought American shows. And I think it's going the other way as well. People in America are learning British English as well in some words and phrases. So that's the first point. Vocabulary is different. Second point, American English spelling is different. Spelling has been reformed. Remember Noah Webster's dictionary, the first large American dictionary from 1828, took away the unnecessary vowel letters. Good for you. You know, that's I think that's great. That is wonderful. If you want to spell color with OR at the end, fine, brilliant. If you want to spell aluminium as just aluminum, super. If you want to spell omelette with one T and no E at the end, then that's great. You know, that makes sense. I wish British English would do that. I wish the boffins in the ivory towers in these universities who sort of keep an eye on English for us, I wish they would get together and say, look, yeah, let's agree. We don't need to spell check with a Q. We can spell it CK. And a lot more. Of course, we get the Z ending instead of S ending, so words like civilize, colonize, emphasize, z. And it sounds like z. We lose the U in words like flavor, harbor, honor, humor. And good, and that should be in our that should be in British English as well. There should be spelling reform, and I agree. I'm happy about that. But the problem is then, if you're doing an exam with British English, does it matter if you use ZE like IZE or ISE? If you know about both, and which one do you use? Ask the teacher. Ask the head of the school, the owner of the school, maybe. If they know, ask the head of studies, the director of studies. My advice is to be consistent. If you're working with American English, be consistent with that. If you're working with British English, then know and use British English spelling, and that will be in the course book as well. The teacher should be sensitive about it as well. Next point, American English grammar is different. I always say this to students, you know, these are two languages, two different languages. In American English, they don't tend to use perfect tenses very much. I just got home. I just got home. British English has to be with auxiliary verb have. I've just got home. What about past perfect? I just got home when the phone rang. Don't know what kind of accent it is, but it's American English. I just got home when the phone rang. Fine, it's no past perfect. I had just got home when the phone rang. But past perfect denotes a different time, a separate time before another time in the past. We need it. We like it in British English. So you have to know what are you working with, and if you're spending hours and hours in the classroom learning perfect tenses, then it's probably that you're working with British English. If you're not, then probably you don't need to because you're working with American English. And I just got home is fine. This was one of the errors, this kind of sentence. I just did something. And I said, but I would use present perfect. Why? Well, because it's like that in British English. But what's the difference? Well, what's the difference? You can make the sentence as basic as you want and still communicate. The difference is in British English, we use that structure, that tense, and it's correct. in American English, it's more optional. And there's a disappearance of function words, especially auxiliary verbs. Maybe prepositions disappear, and we get, you know, we met Saturday. We met Saturday, not on Saturday. So we lose things like auxiliary verbs like have in present perfect. I've been to the shop. I've been to the shop. I have been to. I have been. I've been. I've been to the shop. You've been to the shop lately? You've been to? Have you been to? So question forms are affected. You're going out tonight? You're going. Are you going? We lose auxiliary verbs. Doesn't matter so much. Totally different from British English. If you do that in British English with a British English accent, it's wrong. You're going out. You're going out tonight. I would say wrong, error, question form, are you going? But in a US school, it's fine. You're going? You're going? Lack of question tags. British people love to use question tags, as you know. Are you going out tonight? And then, yes, you're going out tonight, aren't you? Yes, I am, aren't you? You're going out tonight, right? Okay, right. So, a lack of question tags, more direct language. Other differences we see, you know, remember the ad campaign from McDonald's. I'm loving it. Use of state verbs. This was shocking for teachers of British English. Oh, we can't use love in a continuous tense. We can't do that. This was a real shocker. I'm loving it. We can't say that, and we used to teach in the class. Oh, but you know why it's wrong? Because of state verbs. So it was a good introduction to state verbs. Punctuation is different. In small ways, but punctuation is different. American English tends to use double speech marks instead of single, and the Oxford comma is more often used than in British English. So that comma, just after the last thing in a list, I use the Oxford comma. It's my choice. It's my preference. So there you go. Oxford comma is the best for me. But I make a choice to use it and be consistent and always use it. But the biggest thing, of course, is pronunciation. So this is why I couldn't teach American English. Yes, if I have to. Yes, if it's good money, then I will try. I will do my best. I'll do my best. Yeah, and I'll try to get some advice, some training, some help. But this is the problem. Pronunciation is different. I don't know what it's like, for example, if I to be a Scottish native speaker and teach English, teach standard English. I don't know what that's like. If you've got a Scottish accent or a Welsh accent or an Irish accent or Northern Irish accent, or let's expand it even a Liverpool, Geordie, you know, West Country, how do you teach standard pronunciation of English? I don't know how you would do that. Please write in and tell me. It's not about who is best or what is better, but the standard British pronunciation is totally different to standard American English. And the same if you have had a Scottish accent or a strong Polish accent. Now, you're trying to model this language, English language, as a standard pronunciation. Not exactly the Queen's English, because I'm sure she doesn't speak in a standard way either, as far as I know. But sort of the BBC News at 4 o'clock, on radio for this sort of accent. How do you do it if you've got a strong accent from part of the UK or from the USA? I don't know. So I would feel awkward in the USA trying to teach American English. But let's look at some of these things. There's more use of elision. So in American English we hear a sentence like, "What do you want? What do you want? What, yes, do you want? What do you want?" We hear contractions like, I gotta go. I have got to go. So without present perfect, without T sound, or without the schwa sound, a glottal stop. Wada, what do? I wanna go to the shop. I want to go. In British English, we would deal with the T sound by making a glottal stop. I want to go, maybe. Some people would. I've got to go. Got to go. Want to, maybe not. But in American English, they deal with it by making it the D sound, a soft D. I gotta go. I gotta go to the bank. Absence of schwa sound. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. A shoulda. I should've. Oof. British people use a lot of schwa sounds, like in the word should have becomes should've. Oof. Shoulda. Shoulda. Woulda. Coulda. Kinda. It's kinda good, this podcast. Kinda. If you're an American English speaker and you're listening to this and you find this my accent very offensive, this is just for example. British people don't say kinda. I kinda. Kind of. Yes, kinda not. Gotta. It's just for example, so don't worry too much. Short vowel sounds instead of long, so word like caught might change to cut. I cut a cold. Cut. Cutter. Cut. Different vowel sounds substituted. For example, a for o. I bought a dog. 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 A. Dog. Dog. So it's English, but spoken with a different accent, with different conventions, more contractions, more use of elision, less use of schwa sound. Rolled R is important in American English. We don't use it in British English, except Scottish people and Welsh people. More D than T sound. Stress is different. Stress is lighter. You know, imagine this sentence. I bought a banana at the supermarket yesterday. I bought a banana. Banana. Students never understand how we pronounce this word. It's got schwa, then R, then schwa. Banana. I bought a banana yesterday. I bought a banana at the supermarket yesterday. I bought a butter. no your sound in words like Tuesday. Tuesday. Stupid. Don't be stupid. Don't be. Just forget the T in American English. Just forget it. Don't need the glottal stop. Just don't use it. Yeah. Don't be stupid. Do your duty. Do your duty. Now, I don't want all this to sound like Sylvester Stallone, but of course the standard American English pronunciation that we've heard about But these are general thing, general tropes. There are some distinct accents in the USA, for example, New York, the New York accent, Texas, the Texan accent, Chicago, Florida, California. But American English is more homogenized than British English pronunciation. So yes, we have loads of different accents in the UK based on different parts of the country. We have loads of different dialects, but we don't teach those generally. We're teaching the standard English, the BBC. This is the World Service. It's 4 o'clock. Beep, beep. This sort of English. We have to. That's the standard. But yeah, then if you've got time, which we never seem to find time, let's look at all the different accents. But yeah, so when a lot of people, for example, a lot of Polish people move to the north of England, say to Newcastle or Scotland, they say, oh, it's very difficult to understand the people because they've learned standard English. One of my students on Skype from last week, one of my Skype students, he's a Russian guy, a Russian businessman, and he said, oh, this week I had phone calls to the USA and to the UK. And I said, which one was easier to understand? He said, oh, the British English. I said, why? He said, oh, in American English it was really hard to pick out the words, the individual words. It's like the phrase, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? But in British English, we have the stress. The stress helps us to know which sounds and which words are important based on the sounds. So that the stress helps, and also there's less of this elision. Well, everything is gada, wada, wana, shoulda, woulda, coulda, kinda. There's less of that. So we looked at vocabulary is different, spelling is different, grammar is different, punctuation is different. Okay, it's not a big difference. They're not big differences. Pronunciation is different. That is a huge, huge thing for me. And probably there are more things as well, so I'm going to keep making this list. But I will put the notes on the website at pearlandtraining.com. If you have any feedback, I'd like to hear from you, preferably with some polite feedback, because English people are very polite. We like to hear polite language. No, I'm aware my accent isn't brilliant as a British English because as British English because I've spent 10 years in Poland. My accent is quite mixed now with a lot of Polish influence. So don't take me as the best model of British English because I'm not. I'm not saying I am because that is. You can find it online, you can find it on the radio, switch on the radio, Radio 4, BBC Radio 2, and you can hear nice models. So I'm asking you to be polite with your feedback because I know people can get angry defending their language, which one is correct. I think my students this week got angry because, or just one particular angry person, maybe she's always angry, because she thought that I was saying British English is the best. Now, only somebody a little bit jingoistic might say that, or you could say it as a joke. Yes, mine's the best. It's the original and the best. It depends where you are, and it depends what you're doing with it. We can't say something is correct. I mean, I looked at this from on the Lingua File. Why British English is better, a British perspective, and then another page, why American English is better, and it was very interesting. And I noticed the comments, some of the comments here, and it was very just offensive, very offensive. And other people pointing out that, look, this is a joke. Some they've done this for both, for each language. But some of these people were angry, and because, yeah, if you invest a lot of time and money in learning to speak American English, and then somebody comes along, and someone like me comes along from Poland and says, oh, British English is the best, which I didn't say, actually, then you're going to feel upset because you've invested all your time learning American English, and then somebody's saying it's invalid. But that can happen. Not, I wouldn't say that, because I want to work, I want to keep my job. In this research, I found information from Cambridge, and it says, as an examiner, I can reassure you that both British and American English are equally acceptable in the writing and speaking tests. We recognize that classes are taking place around the world in many varieties of English, but what is important above all is that an exam candidate can show us their ability to communicate effectively in English. I didn't know that. Now, in my opinion, CAE, FCE, is British English exams, and I think most people would say that. So if you make the odd error in writing, you know, you spell with an American spelling, it doesn't matter. But interesting that in the speaking as well, you could, your accent won't matter. So that's maybe a good thing. But what about the vocabulary that is used in the rest of the exam, in reading and listening, and the accents that are used? Maybe a mix. Maybe just British English. Need to think about it, look at the book and see. I think in the listening they tried to use different dialects of English, and maybe they would use American English. But but if you're doing a Cambridge exam, Oxford exam, at a school in the UK, then ask your teacher, but I would say, let's focus on British English. An American English word or phrase can stick out like a sore thumb. That's a nice idiom. On a British English assignment, and that's what started this discussion this week, this idea. People using odd words that just seemed wrong in the context. Know what you're signing up for, investing your money in, and time in, investing your money and time in. Ask the language school or teacher what brand of English you will use. And there are different course books, specific course books for British or American English. So I was looking at this page from Oxford University Press. And yeah, we've got American Headway. American Headway. Great. Super. American English File. Now my course in my school where I'm teaching for this working holiday is English File. I'm teaching English File or New English File, but you can buy, you can study American English File. Good. So there's different markets, two different markets. Do you think that if these languages were so similar, do you think they would, the publishers would create and prepare two different books, totally different courses? They are different languages. English native speakers may not see the problem because we take it for granted that we understand both languages well. We understand from birth. American language and culture is close to us from birth. Whether that's good or bad, that is a fact. I would say if you don't need to learn British English, don't learn it. If you don't need to learn American English, don't bother. You need to focus on what you need for your goals. If you're going to study for IELTS and you want to go to a British university, then focus your mind and attention on British English. If you're going to an American university or to work in the USA, then that would be more useful to know all the phrases that we looked at, like, can I fix you a drink, sit tight, you know, these sort of phrases. Learn American English, but don't waste your time doing one or the other if you don't need to. I think this is what's hit me about from this doing this research, that I didn't realize, but now I'm sure that I have sort of dual nationality in language, because I understand both. I read books by American authors like John Irving. He's my favorite author of all time, I think. Doesn't stop me from enjoying the fact that he's American. He writes in his language, American English, or F. Scott Fitzgerald, or other American people. You know, if I watch a film, it doesn't spoil my enjoyment. Maybe some words jump out at me and as clangers, and I think, oh, that doesn't sound good, you know. But it's just sort of an annoying word, because the British word sounds better, in my opinion. Music as well. I understand all of it, but this comes from long exposure. Of course, on the radio every day, we listen to British music and American music. We learn slang, we learn idioms, phrases. I found an interesting article, but at the same time, I can enjoy a book by another of my favourite authors, E.M. Forster, or Charlotte Bronte, or Charles Dickens, and I enjoy their language, use of language, and it's wonderful. And all the time, I hope my vocabulary will grow and get bigger. I often read classic books, because if they're classics, then they must be the best use of language, right? If everybody agrees. So what's the point in wasting time reading a book that is not very good or doesn't have good use of language? So in summary then, I found this really interesting to think about. I'm sure there are more points that we could add. If you can think of any more points of difference, if we can learn the differences and if we can know both languages, then our writing will and our study will be better, I think. I found a Daily Mail article online, and it says let me just find it. It's by Tom Utley. Listen up, folks. This British snob has a confession to make. Americans speak better English than us. It's a no-brainer. So this is a sort of provocative title, but an interesting article from 2013 online. And his conclusion is, long may our two versions of English continue to feed off each other. Long may our two versions, so two different versions, continue to feed off each other. Is British English better than American English? No. Is American English better than British English? No. Is it different? Yes, it's very different. Which one should I learn? It depends where you are, where you're going, what your goals are. Should I pay attention to which kind of English? Yes. My students in the class this week didn't have a clue. So I said, but are you studying British English or American English in this class? Oh, we don't know. Everything is valid, equally valid. Fine, equally valid. But let's look at what we're doing here. We can't learn both. It's like saying, are we learning English in this class or French? Oh, well, both are okay. Okay, so we can use some French and some English. No, let's use one or the other, and let's focus on it and learn about it. So, is British English better than American English? No, but both languages are valid. Equally valid, we should say, but and worth knowing, worth studying. But what we need, it depends what we need. It depends what we need to learn English for. And we should know what we're studying, what kind of English. We should know the differences and be aware of them. And it always makes my students laugh in Poland because they, of course, they don't have perfect tenses in Polish. And I spend a lot of time teaching them these, all these tenses, you know. And after teaching present perfect or past perfect or continuous, I say, oh, and of course in America, in American English, they don't use them really. What? Why not? Oh, well, because it's, I don't know, just don't, just more direct. It's a more direct language. So, thanks for listening today, and I hope that was interesting, useful. If you have any feedback, you can contact me at Perland Training on Twitter, at Perland Training on Instagram. info@perlandtraining.com is my email. So, thanks for listening. See you next time.
Perland on ELT.